Hey, everybody. Sorry I'm late. Okay, that was kind of awkward. Well, welcome, everybody. We've been in a series called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And today we're going to talk about when God seems late. How many of you, by show of hands, hate to wait? How many of you hated to wait for me to come up on stage? Right? So I actually intentionally came up late to make a point that we don't like to wait. I mean, think about it. How many of you, when you're driving and you get stuck in traffic, you just love to wait, right? Nobody likes to wait in traffic. How many of you like to be waiting in a waiting room? Nobody likes to do that, right? How many of you like to wait for your spouse? Don't lift your hand up, okay? Because I don't need you to have drama with mama, right? Or hardships with your hubby, right? So today we're going to be talking about, what do we do when God seems late? Because the reality is that many of you right now, you are waiting. In fact, all of us are waiting on some things in our life, some things that we would like God to do in our life. I want you to think about this. What are you waiting for God to do in your life right now? Some of you, maybe you're waiting for God to help you with a financial situation. Maybe you're waiting for your relief check to get deposited in the bank. Maybe you're waiting for your unemployment claim to be processed. Maybe you're waiting for your PPP business loan to be accepted. You know, all of us have different things we're waiting for. Maybe yours is financial. Maybe some of you are waiting for a job because you got laid off, or you're waiting for there to be less changes on the job because there's been so many changes at work lately. Maybe you're waiting for a medical issue to be resolved. Maybe you're waiting for somebody to change. Anybody in your life you've been praying for God to change? You see, we're all waiting for something. The one thing all of us are waiting for is for this quarantine to end, right? I think we can all agree with that. In fact, I just want to say this to all of you who attend New Hope Windward regularly. I miss you. I so miss you. And I wish we could get together and worship God together. And I really miss seeing you face to face. And I just want to tell you, I think about you every day. I pray for you. I love you so much, and I genuinely miss you. And I can't wait for us to get back together. I am super grateful that we have technology. We have these cameras and the internet so that, you know, we can connect. I mean, let's think about it. There are some businesses that have completely shut down because they can't meet. But I just thank God for the technology allowing us to meet right now. And in fact, I want to just welcome the many new people that are attending online. We literally have hundreds and hundreds of new people attending these services online. In fact, I want to give a shout out to the 13 of you watching in the Philippines. We're so glad that you're with us. I also want to give a shout out to many of you watching in Southern California. Shout out to Rick and Angel. We're so glad you guys are with us. Also want to say hi to Tina in Vermont. And of course, got to say hello to my mom in Albuquerque, New Mexico, who's been quarantined for 5 weeks all by herself. And so, Mom, I love you and I'm praying for you. But I just want to welcome all of you. And in fact, we would love to know where you're watching from. So if you look up on the screen, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to connect with you. This is my email address. And if you'd like to connect with me, let me know where you're watching from. That would be a great blessing to us. Now, I just got to be honest with you guys. I'm still getting used to speaking without people in the room. I mean, it can be kind of awkward, you know. I'll say something that's funny, and it's just like completely silent in the room. It's like crickets, you know. So I came up with a solution, okay, because I know you are laughing your head off when I say something funny. I know. And so just for myself, I'm doing this just to, so I can hear you laughing on the other end. So when I say something funny, I'm just going to play this laugh track on my phone, okay? So just like that, okay? So let's just practice this right now, okay? Let's just see if this works. I'm going to tell you a joke about waiting, okay? All right, let's see if this works. So there's these three businessmen, and they were all in the hospital delivery waiting room. And they're sitting on this bench together waiting for the news, and the nurse comes out and says to the first businessman sitting there, she goes, "Congratulations, you have twins." And the businessman said, "Wow, that's a coincidence. I work for the Minnesota Twins." And then she looked at this person next to him, this businessman, and she said, "Sir, congratulations, you had triplets." And he goes, "Wow, what a coincidence. I work for the company 3M. Well, then the third business guy was sitting there, and he starts to cry like a baby. And the nurse looks at him and says, "Sir, why are you crying?" And he goes, "Because I work for 7-Up. Okay, now. You guys don't have to clap. It wasn't that funny. I know. Okay. All right, I promise you I'm going to do that over and over in this message, okay? But the truth is we're all in a season of waiting. And what can happen is while we're waiting for God to do something, we can start wondering why God isn't doing something. And we can start having this question that we've all had, and as we just start to say, why doesn't God do something about it? Like, I have faith that he'll do something about it. I believe he can do something about it. But, you know, I've seen God answer other people's prayers and do something about it, but he's not doing it for me. And when that happens, we can get really discouraged. In fact, some of you, maybe you kind of distance yourself from God because he didn't do something that you really wanted him to do. So today we're going to talk about what do we do when God seems late. And we're going to look at a passage in Scripture. It's in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 43. I can't go through all of them, so I highly encourage you to read this during the week on your own. But let me tell you what's going on in this passage of Scripture. Because in this passage, we're going to see three siblings who had to wait on Jesus. They asked him to do something. He didn't do it. And as a result, they got really discouraged. And in this passage, we're going to see why they had to wait and what God was doing while they were waiting. Because these are things he can do while we're waiting on him. So let me tell you what's going on. There's three siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Lazarus gets super sick. And so Mary and Martha send a messenger to go find Jesus. He was out healing people. And they send him this message. Take a look up on the screen to see what they say. They say this. They said in verse 3, "So the two sisters send a message to Jesus telling him, 'Lord, your dear friend is very sick.'" Now, I want you to notice a couple things about this. First of all, they don't even use his name, Lazarus. You say, well, why? Because they were so close to Jesus, they just called him, "Lord, your dear friend, the one you love," is what other passages say. And so Jesus was really close with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I mean, Jesus would come over to the house, have Martha's beef stew, and they were super close. So they're letting Jesus know, hey, our brother is super sick. And so they wanted Jesus to come to heal him. They'd seen him heal people. And so what happens? Does Jesus come to heal Lazarus? He doesn't. He waits. And so they're thinking, surely, I mean, we're so close to him. You know, like, we're like BFFs with him. He's going to show up. And Jesus doesn't show up. The next day in the evening, guess what? Jesus doesn't show up. The next day, Jesus doesn't show up. The next day, Jesus doesn't show up, and he doesn't show up the next day. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And I can imagine they probably had some thoughts kind of like we do when we're waiting on God. Hey, God, I thought we were close. Like, why aren't you answering my prayer? This is a good prayer. I believe you will. I have faith that you will. Why aren't you doing this? And isn't it true that that's how we can feel? We can just say, Jesus, you're not showing up. And the reality is that many of you are going through something where you feel like God's not showing up. He's not answering your prayer. For some of you, you've had a loved one with a chronic physical condition, and you prayed for God to heal them, and they prayed, and you had faith, and God didn't heal them. For me personally, I've had multiple physical health issues. God has healed me of some of them, and there's some others that are completely chronic that he has not healed me of. And there have been times where I'm like, gosh, Lord, it doesn't make sense. Like, why'd you heal this but not that? Have you ever felt that way? You start to think, God, you don't make sense. Maybe you're waiting on God to do something in a relationship. You've been praying for this relationship to get repaired, and it's not repaired. You know, during this quarantine time, a lot of couples are really struggling with one another. You know, there's a lot of strain, a lot of tension in the house. Maybe you've been struggling with your kids or with a boyfriend or girlfriend, whoever it is. Maybe you've been praying, God, fix this relationship, and that hasn't happened. Maybe you have a child that has strayed, and you're just wondering, why haven't they come back to Christ? Maybe you're sitting there, you're just like, I know God can do something about this. I have huge faith, but he's not. And so you're in this waiting room like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was in. And you're wondering, God, why? Why do you have me wait when you know you could fix this, but you're not fixing it? So here's the question I want to ask you. What do you do when you're waiting on God? Now, what I want to do is I want to give you two things that we can learn from this passage. There's actually more than two, but there are two primary things I want you to remember the next time you're in a waiting room and God is not making sense. Okay, if you're taking notes, this one's really huge. This can really help you. These things have helped me so much in my waiting rooms of life. Here's the first one, is that God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. In other words, just because you and I might be in a waiting room, it doesn't mean that God is necessarily saying no to our request. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. It's important to remember that. Sometimes God's just saying, not yet. He hasn't said no to your prayer. He's just saying, not yet. Now, I want you to see how Jesus responded when he heard about Lazarus' sickness. Watch this. It says, but when Jesus heard about what he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Okay, this is really important. So Jesus was saying, listen, yeah, I know he's sick, I've heard the request, but this sickness, like there's a purpose behind this delay. In fact, I would argue that there are times that some of the delays, the waiting rooms we're in life, are God's divine waiting room, where he has us waiting because there's a purpose where God wants to get glorified. And we'll see more about that as the story goes on here. Let me tell you an example of this in my life. I had a prayer that I prayed for 22 years that God didn't answer. 22 long years. And I'll be honest, there's times I was praying and I was just like, I just wanted to give up. Like, all right, he's not going to answer this one. I was discouraged in it. I was hurt within it. Frustrated, at times angry. Can any of you relate to this? And then God, a few years ago, he answered the prayer. And man, I thought about this again. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. And I was just so glad I didn't give up while I was praying. Now you say, well, Dave, well, why did God have you wait so long for him to answer your prayer? Well, here's something that's really important to remember when you're in a waiting room, when you're waiting on God. You may want to write this down. Is that God wants to do something in you before he does something for you. I'm going to say that again. Often God wants to do something in us, in you, while you're in that waiting room, while you're in that delay, before he does something for you, before he answers that prayer request. And so you say, well, Dave, what was God teaching you over that 22-year period? Oh, man, he taught me a lot of stuff. He taught me patience. He taught me to keep believing in him when I questioned him. He taught me to walk by faith and not by sight. He taught me to have compassion towards other people going through the same waiting that I was going through. He taught me to continue to just depend on him while it was really difficult. There's so many things. Often God wants to do something in us before he does something for us. You know, he taught me that when I'm weak, he is strong. See, we don't learn those things unless we wait. And God knows that. And that's why Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had to wait. There was a divine purpose behind their waiting. You see, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. And sometimes God wants to do something in you before he does something for you. Remember that. So let's jump back into the story. So some time goes by, Jesus hasn't arrived, and Lazarus gets really, really sick. He gets so sick that he finally takes his last breath and he dies. Now imagine what Mary and Martha thought. Like, Jesus, where were you? In fact, both of them approached him later on and said, if you would have shown up, our brother wouldn't have died. You would have healed him. And get this, you know what Jesus was doing while he was away? He was healing Roman soldiers. Now, the Romans of that day were not liked people. They are often cruel, torturous type of people. And so Jesus is taking care of criminals, so to speak, but he's neglecting his best friends? You know they had to go, Jesus, you don't make sense. And so if you have those times where you're wondering, God, you don't make sense, you're not alone. Many of God's saints have felt that way. So Jesus finally arrives, and I want you to see how long it took for him to arrive after Lazarus died. Take a look at this. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave, say it with me, for 4 days. 4 days. Now, there's significance to why Jesus showed up after 4 days. So back in this time, the people at this time believed that when a person died, their spirit would hover over their dead body for 3 days. And then after 3 days, that spirit would leave, and then there was no hope for that person to ever come back to life. Like, they're dead. And so Jesus waits 4 days because he was about to show them one of the reasons why he delayed. In fact, he delayed so long that by the time he arrived, the Bible says that his body, he stunk. And you think, well, why? Well, because after 4 days, bodies start to decompose. In fact, take a look at this verse. This is one of the literal translations of how his body smelled. Take a look at this in the King James Version. By this time, Lazarus' body, he stinketh. And so, okay. So, in fact, if you translate this word, it's the Greek word pew. Pew. I'm kidding. I just made that up. And I didn't get much of a laugh on that one. Okay. Okay. I'll stop doing that. I promise. Okay. So, anyhow, Jesus waits. His body stinks. He's totally dead. All, you know, a bunch of friends and family show up to the funeral. And Jesus gets there 4 days later. Imagine how Mary and Martha felt. Like, where were you? You don't even come to comfort us. Now we're going to start to see why Jesus waited. Now, before I get into that, I want to tell you my own life. I felt the way that I think Mary and Martha felt. I've shared before, if you've been around our church for a while, that a few years ago, my dad unexpectedly passed away. And boy, that did not make sense to me. First thing I said to the Lord was, why didn't you tell me you were going to bring him home? I was hurt, I was angry, I was mad. And when I was flying back to the mainland to be with my family, I was just crying, so just grieving, mourning, hurting. And I asked the Lord, I said, why did you take my dad? Like, you could have healed him. You could have told us. Why? Because God wasn't making sense to me. And you know, Jesus didn't answer my question. He didn't tell me why, but he asked me a question. It popped into my mind, and he said this. He said, Dave, have I been good to you? And I thought, have you been good to me? And I started to think about the totality of my life. All the things, I started to think about all the answered prayers I'd had, all the times God provided for me, how, you know, income and relationships and church and friends and clothing and food and a car. And I just started thinking about all these ways God had been good to me. And so he said, "Have I been good to you?" And it was like, "Yeah, you've been good to me thousands of times." And then he said this to me. He said, "Then trust in my goodness." In other words, "Dave, I've been good to you your entire life, and so I'm a good God. You know that. I've proven that to you. And so your dad is gone, and I'm not telling you why, but you can trust me because you know I'm good." And I thought, "Yeah, you are so good." And so I then said at that very moment, I just said, "God, I don't understand this, but I trust you." In fact, that's something that when God doesn't make sense, can I encourage you? Is just to remember that. "God, I don't understand this, but I trust you." Because look at what Martha said to Jesus when he arrived. Martha said, "Jesus, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." Notice the next words. "But even now, Jesus, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." In other words, she's saying, "I don't understand this, but I trust you." This is so important to remember in the waiting room of life, is that we don't have to understand everything in order to trust God. God is a good God, and there are times things just aren't going to make sense until we get to heaven. But this can help us move from bitterness towards God to relationship with God. When I said this to God, when I said, "You are a good God, I don't understand why my dad is gone, and it hurts like crazy, but I trust you." You know, when I said that, I felt enormous peace come from God. You say, "Dave, why'd you feel peace?" Because I was offended with God. And that offense was keeping God's peace out of my heart. And some of you right now, maybe you're offended with God, and I would encourage you to just say this: "I don't understand this, but I trust you." Because then that offense, that wedge between you and God can be removed, and you can experience his peace and his joy, even if you don't understand it. And I've said before, we don't have to live by God's explanations. Let's live by his promises. Let's live by the fact that God is a good, good God. Now, I realize that God's definition of good and our definition of good are often different. I totally understand that. But God is good, and even if we don't understand, we can still trust him. "God, I don't understand why you haven't answered this prayer, but I trust you." Or maybe you say, "God, I don't understand why you haven't healed me, but I trust you. God, I don't understand why I'm going through all of these various challenges, but I trust you." Remember that. Let me give you something else I think you'll find helpful when you're in the waiting rooms of life. This one's really important. Let me open it up by, let me share this point with you by kind of telling you a story. There was a seminary professor, and he had a bunch of students in the classroom, and he wrote up on the board these letters: TBM, 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 TBM. He said to the students, "Do you know what this means?" And they're like, "No." And here's what he said. He wrote under those letters, he wrote this phrase: "The bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle." I want you to remember this. The bigger the mess you're going through, the bigger the miracle God can do. You look all throughout Scripture, the bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle God can do. Let's jump back into the story. We're going to see this with Mary and Martha. So Jesus tells Martha, "Hey, your brother's going to rise again." And Martha says, "Yeah, he's going to rise again. In fact, let me show this to you." He says, "Your brother's going to rise again." She goes, "Yeah, he's going to rise again when everyone else rises at the last day." She was referring to the resurrection. Jesus was saying, no, 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 no. Your brother is going to rise again. He goes on to say, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone, watch this, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Here's what Jesus was saying. If we live in Jesus, that means we have relationship with him. We believe in him, even if we don't understand, even if we might have some doubts, then we will live in heaven. And so Jesus was using this big delay to teach this principle that he's God, okay? And so Jesus was saying, listen, I'm using your brother's death as an illustration. Because Jesus was saying, yeah, 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 listen, yeah, we all are going to, you know, we're going to be in heaven one day, but I want to teach you all something else. I'm going to prove to you that I'm God. And that's exactly what Jesus did. So here's what happened next. Jesus comes, remember, it's 4 days after Lazarus had died. He's with all these people mourning. In fact, some of the people who came to the funeral goes, there's Jesus. He healed that blind man. He didn't even heal Lazarus. Mary and Martha approached Jesus. They're like, if you had just been here, our brother would have been healed. Like, you don't make sense. And watch what Jesus does. He goes up to the tomb that Lazarus has been in for 4 days. And remember, he stinketh, right? Jesus says, roll away the stone. Martha protests and says, no, 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 it's going to stink so bad. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. Then Jesus does this after they rolled the tombstone away. He says a prayer, and then he does this. He shouts, and he says, Lazarus, come out. Now, some scholars say, why did he say Lazarus instead of just come out? He said Lazarus because if he had said, come out, a bunch of people would have come out of their graves because that's the power of Jesus Christ. But he says, Lazarus, come out. And what happens inside the tomb? All of a sudden, this resurrection power. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. I have power. This power starts to infuse this dead body of Lazarus's. And his heart starts to beat. Do, 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 do. He takes a breath. And then what does he do? This is quite a scene in the Bible. He walks out of his tomb, the Bible says, in his grave clothes. Okay? Like, talk about a scene from a zombie apocalypse movie, right? He walks out of the grave. Jesus says, remove his grave clothes. And everybody around this now is starting to see, oh my gosh. Jesus is God. He has the power to bring dead things back to life. That's why Jesus waited, because he wanted them to know he was God. And sometimes God will have us wait, because the bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle. Listen, sometimes God has had me wait for things so that when the miracle happens, I know that it was God and only God. These people stood around this gravesite when only God can do that. And there's times God's going to have you wait because he wants it to get messy enough so that when he does the miracle, you give him all the glory. So you don't go, well, that was just a coincidence, or, well, that was just me. That's just something I did. No, no, no. The bigger the miracle, excuse me, the bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle. Remember that. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. You know what? Some of you have a dead area in your life. Or you have an area that's dying. It could be a relationship. Some of you might be saying, my marriage is dying. Listen, the bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle. God may be waiting for you, both husband and wife, to fully submit to him and to fully do what he's saying to do. Just die. Die to yourselves. so that he can come and resurrect that marriage. Some of you, maybe you're praying for God to heal you, and he hasn't healed you yet, like he hasn't healed some areas in me yet. Listen, God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. We got to remember that. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. God wants to do something in you before he does something for you. I would encourage all of us to pray this week, God, while I'm waiting, is there something you want me to do before you're going to do something for me? Sometimes God's waiting on us financially. We want God to do a financial miracle, and God's saying, I want you to manage your money my way. Follow my principles, then I'll bless you. Sometimes we have to die. No, I want to manage it my way. God said, no. Let me do something in you before I do something for you. You surrender to me, and then I'm going to bless you financially. Some of you, maybe there's, you know, you need a job or whatever. I just be praying, God, what do you want me to do? The bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle. Now, let's just, before I pray, let's just talk about what do we do when God says no? Because God is going to say no sometimes to good prayers. That's when we need to just say, I don't understand this, but I trust you. And so, I don't know what you're waiting for, but I know this, that God's delays are not necessarily his denials. And God wants to do something in you before he does something for you. And the bigger the message you're in, get ready, the bigger the miracle. There is a miracle coming. And even if it doesn't, he'll do a miracle in you. And you can just say, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I want to pray for us. And so if you would, wherever you're at, if you wouldn't mind just bowing your heads with me and maybe close your eyes and let's just go before God. And I want to just pray for God. And I'm going to ask him to do some miracles, not only around us, but also in us. So let's pray. Father, I just pray for everybody who's struggling and hurting while they're in a waiting room of life. And I pray for healing for every person hearing this, Lord. Give them strength emotionally. Give them strength physically and spiritually while they're waiting. Thank you, Lord, that your delays are not necessarily your denials. And God, sometimes you want to do something in us before you do something for us. So Lord, we just ask you, what do you want us to do? What's our part in the miracle? God, we want to ask you to help us to just press into you, to submit to you, to believe you. We thank you that a waiting season is not a wasted season. You're doing something in us. And God, thank you that the bigger the mess, the bigger the miracle. Thank you so much. So God, we just pray that you bring the dead areas in our lives back to life. We pray for miracles of healing. God, heal wounded hearts and hurting bodies. We pray for forgiveness, God. We choose to forgive others as you have forgiven us. God, we let go of any bitterness we have towards you, any offense. God, we pray for your blessings financially. We pray for jobs. And we pray, God, for anybody who's hurting, who's lost a loved one. God, today we're going to resolve that no matter what happens, even if we don't understand it, we will trust you. With everybody's heads bowed, if you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, can I encourage you to do that? That is the first step to experiencing miracles. And so if you'd like to do that, you could just pray this prayer with me. Just say these words out loud. Just say, Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to just ask that if you prayed that prayer, if you're watching this right now, below you, if you're watching it on our website, you can click the I raised my hand button. And if any of you are watching this on YouTube or Facebook Live or Instagram, I'd love to hear from you. Let me know that you made that decision. I'd love to just connect with you and get to know you. Also, too, if this message was helpful for you, I just want to encourage you to share this with a friend, share this with a loved one that you think this might be helpful for them. And last but not least, if you'd like to get connected to a small group, you can text groups at 484848, and you can just check out some of the groups we have, and or you can just go to our website and check them out. We'd love to help you get connected into an online group during this season. But once again, thank you for the privilege of your time today. We love you, and may God bless you while you're waiting.